Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Joining us for the second time on the Celeb Savant podcast, we've got Ruby and Pete from the Melbourne-based pop fusion duo President Street. They have taken the UK by storm and now are breaking in Australia. Their music is influenced by their versatile musical upbringings from pop to R&B to rock. The duo have had 4 songs smash the top 10 official UK Music Week charts and released 2 EPs. 2022 saw them complete a highly acclaimed national UK tour across the esteemed O2 theatres in support of pop, rock, soul icon Rochford, as well as tour dates in Germany. With extensive radio coverage of over 130 stations across the UK, they were also featured artists on the prestigious music programme BBC The Beat. Coupled with strong club support and wide coverage in numerous influential lifestyle and music mags such as Wonderland, Roller Coaster and Headliner, as well as UK's Daily Express and the Irish Post newspapers, the duo have been dubbed as the ones to watch by numerous music curators. Following from the success in the UK, President Street are turning their eyes to their home country after their 2023 Australian debut release of their cover single She Drives Me Crazy. With national support by iHeartRadio, ARN, Kiss FM and Ace to name just a few, including for their follow-up single Something to Believe, they've made their presence known in Australia as well. With an engaging and energetic live show that showcases their unique sound and musicality, their eclectic sets deliver a full sound with Ruby on vocals and an electronic drum pad, Pete on loop pedals, keyboards, percussion and acoustic guitar, plus an electric guitarist. The duo showcase their musical diversity writing their songs together as well as recording and co-producing in England with the legendary Ash House and John Reynolds. On this episode of Celeb Savant, we'll be catching up with Pete and Ruby about what's been happening since we last spoke, their new music and much more. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Ruby and Pete from President Street. So where are you guys and how are you doing?
We are in Melbourne at the moment, home, Melbourne, Australia.
Hey, Barrett, great to see you.
Thank you so much for having us back as well. Great to be back.
So are you more based now in Melbourne or between Melbourne and London? Was last time when we chatted, you were in London.
Yeah, we definitely had a lot going on there. We had a few tours and, busy touring with Rochford. We were, over in Europe as well, and we had a great time there. We love the UK. But for the last year or so, we've been back in Melbourne. We've released a couple songs on Oz Radio here that have done quite well, which we're happy about. And, gearing up to release a song as well called I Don't Wanna Be. So we'll see how it goes in Australia first and hopefully bring it over to you guys in the UK.
Lovely.
And so South Africa.
Yes.
I'm just thinking UK because last time we spoke, the very first time we caught up with you on Celeb Savant, we were sitting in the UK.
So yeah.
That's
got that.
My mind right
so let's not just say the UK and South Africa. Let's say the world.
Exactly.
Let's put it out there.
Okay, where all the good people are.
Yeah. You mentioned you released a couple of singles. You've been in Melbourne, which did quite well in Australia. What else has been happening in the last year?
Spending quite a bit of time in the studio and trying to work out some different things, writing different songs. So, we've definitely been gearing up to release more music and trying. So last year was a bit of a sort of consolidation year for us in a lot of ways, getting back into Australia. It's all really, even though we've come from Australia, it's our first release in Australia. So really for us, just organically, we ended up starting in England. So we wrote some music and released some music and got a grab in England. So England's where we just sort of naturally gravitated to. And then it's sort of last year was ironically the start of our Australian release.
Oh, cool.
Sort of our Australian journey.
You did a cover of the Fine Young Cannibals, You Drive Me Crazy. Why that song specifically for a cover? What was the attraction?
It's funny. It wasn't really a lot of thought behind it. I was actually just mucking around with it. I actually heard it on the radio and I was like, gee, I love that song so much. And I just sort of went in the studio and started playing with it. And very quickly we kind of got a concept that's very similar to how it is now and went, oh, it's kind of cool. But what I really like about that song is it's such an iconic 80s track. And it's got that amazing snare that sort of rings out through. And what we were like, for me and for both of us, it's like the covers that we like are the ones that are a really completely different reinterpretation of the song, not just a cool, similar vibe to the original. Yeah. It's like, no, we want to take it to a completely different place.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We took it in a really sort of dance pop space. But the mechanics of the song are such that the guitar is so cool that by actually keeping the guitar elements pretty dirty and distorted, it kind of kept the vibe up on it. And so what I loved about it was it was a completely fresh version of it, but it still had that really deep connection to it as well because of the guitar. So, yeah, so the answer is it wasn't a lot of thought other than, gee, it's a cool song, and we haven't done a single, and we just loved it. And we sent it over to our friend Ash Howes in England, who's an amazing mixer and producer, and he was like, oh, that's really cool. And we were in England, and he's like, okay, we'll come into studio next week and we'll put the vocals down and we'll get it going. And so that's what we did. So it was quite spontaneous.
So, yeah, so being our first release in Australia, which is what we were planning to, we were like, well, us as a duo, as President Street, we've spent so much time in the UK up until this point before releasing in Australia. So, you know, it is obviously a song written by the British group, the Fine Young Cannibals. So we were like, maybe that's a nice little connection for us to bring a bit of the UK. It was recorded, it was mixed over in the UK, and we'll bring that over to Australia and release it there as our little, you know, symbolism of having spent so much time in the UK as Australians. And so, yeah.
And the majority of it was done when we were on tour in the England side.
So. Okay. Now, for those people who do not know, what is a snare?
Snare drum.
That real...
Okay. Usually the kicker's on the one and the snare is on the two.
Really cuts through.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. I like this because, you know, a lot of us, when I'm chatting with you guys universally, you bring up like these sort of musical terms. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I'm sure I don't know what that is. The listening audience, I like to bridge the gaps so we can educate at the same time.
No, it's good. Thank you for asking. It's good.
Well, it's funny you say that. Neither Ruby or I have ever had a music lesson. So quite often we get lost in music in the dialogue of music as well.
Okay, cool.
We've sort of developed our own terminology and language. So when we do work with people like Ash Howes, this mixer, and other people that we've written with as well, it's like, oh, gosh, you know, they speak a different language, but we make it work, so.
I make up words almost every week. I'm like saying something, I'm like, is that a real word? I think we need to put in the dictionary because it sounds like a cool word. I understand what you're saying.
Well, if you said it, it's in reality now, so that
exactly.
makes it real.
Exactly. I remember, I think last year I came up, I thought it was a real word, idiocity. And I thought, oh, that's a cool word. Why isn't it not a real word? It's like, idiocity makes sense.
I do the same thing. We were laughing about this the other day with like words like photography. When I read it, I know it's photography, but when I read it, I often just say it out loud as photography.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay, so now the accumulation of singles and stuff you've been recording, is it going to become a body of work of a full album? Because last year you were in the studio a lot and writing and creating, is it now like almost finished or 70% finished, or where are we at?
Yeah, probably closer to 70-80, I would say.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, the songs themselves, yeah, are pretty close to done. But yeah, it's often all the other stuff around it.
Yeah.
For the promotion and the socials and all that sort of stuff, which is not as much in our natural range of things to do, but we want to do it. You know, we want to give our music its, you know, put it on its best front foot for everyone and get it out there. So yeah, a lot to do still.
Now, has your creative process changed since the last time we spoke, or you still, I know that when we spoke last time, it was a certain, you create in a certain way, but as you've done this year of creating, have you found new nuances or way to create with each other and others that you've discovered along the way that help, or is it still the same sort of Not routine. I don't like calling it that, but sort of
Well,
pattern, if you
yeah,
understand.
what I would say is maybe before we would do a bit separate and then come in together with bits already done. Now we're more just starting together, sitting in the room, starting together. So I think that's probably the main changer, but not a massive
That being
change.
said, though, like last year, and I think, yeah, soon after we spoke with you last, we had a couple songwriting sessions with a couple guys in the UK as well, which who are amazing, and that was definitely different because they sort of came in with a little bit more of an idea, and then things get turned on its head, and we start from scratch again, or vice versa, and we sort of came with a little bit of an idea as well. So again, yeah, that was different to what we've normally done, but yeah, that's co-writing really. So yeah, it's still pretty similar to, I think, to last time, that every song just starts in its own way, and it can be quite different each time.
So now, when you guys are collaborating with other writers, obviously you guys are used to each other's energy, your flow, the way your brains work, so to speak. But when new people come into the room, is it a moment for you guys to get used to their energy? Do you chat and break the ice? Or what is the process to now understand, cool, we're going to be vulnerable with people we've never met before?
It is a definite process. So of the two people we wrote with, one we knew much better than the other. One guy was actually we was on the tour,
Oh, okay.
and so we got to know him really well on the tour. And we're like, hey, let's he's like, well, should we spend a bit of time writing? So we did. So there was the ice was well and truly broken.
Yeah.
The second person we wrote with, again, incredibly amazing, we didn't really know. So it was, and again, people do music like they do life. Some people do life just, all right, let's get down to business. Sit down, open it up, let's get going. Other people waffle, they want to hang out. And so it just, like I said, people play music, do music exactly as they do life. So it's literally person by person. And, some people are sitting, have a cup of tea, have a cup of coffee, or go to the pub the night before. It's just completely different. So for us, we just try and create a safe space primarily, which is this is a space where there's no bad ideas. No one gets laughed at for making a stupid suggestion. No one gets chastised for being dumb. This is a safe space. So, there's no bad ideas. There's no good ideas. It's just all ideas. And the focus is on making the song as strong as it can be. So if that means that the best ideas are coming from there or there, it doesn't really matter. There's no ego. Like, I've got to have my input into it. Is if these guys are going and they're going in the right direction, we're all happy to sit back and let them go.
So
So.
perhaps we've just been really lucky with the people that we've worked with, but yeah, we definitely feel very lucky that we've worked with some really, really wonderful people and musicians as well. So we're excited to put out what has come from those sessions.
I think if, like what you're saying, if you're in a space where you guys are, and I pick it up and I've picked it up previously, you're in a, I'm looking for the correct words. You're in an energetic space that is welcoming, that is empathetic, that is caring, that is grateful. So when you're in that energetic space, you'll manifest or you'll attract similar type people to collaborate with in your world, and you won't attract the other type, unless there are lessons there that need to be learned, and there's a mirror that you guys need to figure out about, because
Very good point,
we
yeah.
do that. So that makes complete sense. It's slightly controversial. We did discuss this previously around what's happening, with CDs and streaming. What is your perceptions of where, being an independent artist obviously is a different experience compared to being part of a label, but what is your how the music world is currently, what's happening in the space?
It's really amazing now when you think about the speed at which the landscape's changing in music. I mean, even last time we spoke, there was a bit of talk about TikTok, but not that much. Whereas now people talk almost exclusively about TikTok. It's like there's just so many moving spaces at the moment. And sorry, it's such a fast moving space. So definitely for us, we really, as always, think that it's all about streaming, and obviously, but we look at it as, it's not streaming for streaming's sake. It's streaming to find an audience, because ultimately we want to play live. Ultimately, we want to be able to head on over to South Africa and be able to sell tickets and come and play shows. And it's It's a discovery platform is how we look at it. We hope that people discover us on Spotify, all the socials, and then they will want to come and see us live because that's where we feel we communicate best and, you know, sort of connect best with our audiences on stage rather than on a screen because, honestly, we're not that good at the screen stuff. We're not very good at social media. We try our best, but, you know, it's not that natural to us. But you put us on a stage and it's fantastic. So, you know, we're probably like most musos like that, I guess.
Okay, now I've got a point of discussion. I can't remember if we discussed it in our previous conversation, but it's still fresh and new because it's been a period of time. I'm that person that's always right in front, dancing, jamming, enjoying it. And you mentioned the connection with the people. I noticed that the people around me, a lot of the time, not all of them, but a lot of the time, a lot of period of time, they on their phones, on their screens, getting the videos, getting the shots, which is still watching you guys through a screen. Potentially for a period of time. And sometimes I've even noticed at some of the concerts lately that I've been at, I see people, I find it bizarre. Actually, the reason I'm laughing is I find it absolutely bizarre is you guys are on stage and the person turns around with their back to you, filming themselves, singing the song and you like a little piece in the background. I saw this at one concert and it was a favorite artist and yet the entire concert, her back was to the stage and she was pulling herself. From the person or the peep being on stage and potentially see a bunch of phones, do you feel that sometimes takes away from that connection you reference or is just where society is?
No, I actually think it's like everyone experiences it in their own way. And if you know, if a tree falls in the forest and it's not on Instagram, did it really fall? And, you know, it's like however people want to experience it, it's great. They're there. They've turned up. They've made an effort. If they want to share it with their friends on social or live stream it to someone who's at home who couldn't make it, honestly, it doesn't, for me, it doesn't make any difference to me.
It can end up helping the artist almost as well by having that extra publicity out there really as well. But, yeah, it is for me as well, I think, as the front woman singing as well. And, you know, I feel like it's always my job that bit more than the guys, you know, on the instruments as well that are holding everything else down. Like, I feel like it's my job to really try my best as well to make eye contact with people. And I want to as well in the audience. It's hard sometimes in the stage lights. They blind you. But
yes,
we've definitely had a few phones when we've performed as well. It doesn't bother me, but it is always nice to make eye contact as well. But as Pete said, it's however people need to enjoy it in their own way. We're all different. We don't want to dictate how people need to enjoy their music live.
Exactly. Yeah,
I get your sentiment though as well, where it is nice for everyone to just be
in the moment,
completely in the moment and present and just completely there with you as well, which, yeah, having a little object in front of you can perhaps feel like at times it can take away from that. But a lot of people like to relive the moment afterwards too when they rewatch the video. So
yeah. Now you guys mentioned that you opened for Rochford and you're on a tour. So when you're opening for an artist on tour, do you find that challenging? Because potentially some of the audience would not know who President Street is, and it's about winning them over and allowing them to hear you and love you compared to sort of headlining a show. Do you find it challenging and how do you approach that challenge?
Yeah, I guess there's always challenges when you are absolutely in that scenario and you've got that knowledge that ultimately that audience there are not necessarily there to see you. We definitely had a few people that we learnt of that had come to see us as well, and they also like Rochford too, so why not? It's a great night, which was amazing for us, you know, having come from Australia and over to the UK too. It's an amazing opportunity when you are supporting for an artist like Rochford, who is just an absolute legend and such an incredible musician and entertainer and performer as well. You know, I think he's got an amazing group of fans that follow him. So they were really enjoyable to perform for. And in terms of challenges and overcoming them, I think, yeah, the challenges I don't think are anything specific to that audience. It's just about us making sure we put on our absolute best show, blow them away, add to their night and get them really warmed up for the main act as well. And, I think we definitely overcame that challenge because we had some really great feedback from the audience members afterwards at the merch stand and saying like, oh, my God, like we would have come to like just see you guys. You should have your own headline tour. So that was incredibly incredibly rewarding and affirming for us, really. And we had a great time, and we were just so happy that they did as well. And they just had an amazing night of live music with us and with Roachford too. So,
And we put a lot of time into making sure that, look, we've got a 30-minute window and we're going to blow their socks off. So what's the set? How are we arranging it? What are we doing? What's, you know, what instrumentation and what energy levels do we want?
Yeah.
So we put a lot of time into trying to make sure that we did, as you say, take that opportunity to win some people over. And we got some really nice feedback. So that was cool.
Yeah. And it's not just about cramming as many songs into that set as well. It's about how can we best represent these songs? Do we create more theatrical moments or amazing musical moments in there as well to try and, you know, give people an experience rather than just a press play what they could listen on this.
And also aware that, you know, we are supporting and we want to, you know, we are the hype band, so we want to get them excited.
Yeah.
So that they, you know, that they're ready to go when Andrew, the main guy, steps up.
Yeah.
So it was a great experience and a great learning curve for us, actually, with all that in mind. So
your latest single, tell us more about it.
It's called I Don't Wanna Be. It's a very fun dance pop song. It's all about just escaping into your own dream and fantasy world and exploring and just going for that love, whether it's with a person, whether it's with yourself, or just, I don't know, just a travel bug or whatever, just exploring life and just being bold and courageous in what you dream of, really.
The rest of the body of the work that's coming, I know you can't really say, but is there an overall theme that connects it all, or it's just feel good music blending into each other, so to speak?
I don't know if it's too thematic. I think it's just, it's a body of work, I suppose, and always a song is a snapshot in time. It's like what we were feeling in that moment.
Yeah.
So I Don't Want to Be, for example, we're on a songwriting camp and we're at the beach. It was summer, I was at the beach. So it's quite a summery, uplifting, happy vibe to I Don't Want to Be. So like I said, it sort of is a very much a snapshot of that moment. And so the body of work is a series of moments, is how I kind of look.
I like that. Yeah.
We never start writing going, we want to write this type of song or that type of song. We just are happy to let things evolve naturally.
It's probably going to end up being a bit of an eclectic mix of almost what our music life has been like the last few years, which has been sort of all over the place, you know, Germany, UK, Australia, you know, all the places where it could have been that didn't end up happening with all the lockdowns and stuff. So, musically, I feel like it sort of feels like it's just going to be a bit like that as well, a bit of a taste of everything.
Now, you referenced this, and I've heard this before from other artists, songwriting camp. What is a songwriting camp and how is that different to when you just sort of writing songs normally?
So we get our sleeping bags and tents. No, just kidding.
That's what I thought about.
It's like you wake up and all you're doing is music. And then you have breaks, you have some drinks, you have dinner, whatever you do. And then it's more music. And then you wake up and it's the isolation and the single focus. That's sort of how we tend to do it. It's like, you know, we're not getting distracted by anything else. It's just everything is a break from music, as distinct from music is a break from life, if that makes sense.
I was going to say, rather than, you know, being in our cars or whatever, and you think of something and you record a little voice memo, it's just creating that opportunity for anything to come up in that moment to be properly developed in that time. And yeah, just sitting around, Pete's on guitar or keyboard, I'm singing around, and we've got the computer there ready to start adding some production elements as well. So just giving ourselves that opportunity to just be really immersed in it.
And I've heard all artists do this. So there's a period of time where you just focus on this specific, which is a songwriting camp in inverted commas, where it's just immersion, focus on that. And when you're not in songwriting camp, you're still creative, you're still productive, but then you've got events, you're doing social media, you're doing publicity and stuff in interspersed. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing to the idea of creativity and when it comes. So as Ruby says, Ruby often just does voice notes driving somewhere and she'll just pull out a phone and just sing into it. And so that's a spontaneous moment. But when you're in writing camp, it's sort of like we're here to write. So the pressure's on and it's very intense. So sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It doesn't necessarily mean a good thing, because, you know, creativity can come at various times. So
exactly. So I don't know if you remember this game. I love this game. And one of you is going to have time to think. And I know your answer will be different compared to our last conversation. I'm not saying favorite. And I recognize that if I had to ask you this in 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 minutes, your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. Pete, you're going to have time to think, but going to Ruby first. So if you had to push play.
I'm the one that normally needs time to think.
If you had to push play to five songs by the artist, like I said, not favorite, just five songs by the artist, what would those first five songs come to mind and what would they be and by whom?
Okay, think the ones that just come to my mind. Sure, Do You Believe? Oh my God, I'm so bad at this. My Universe, BTS and Coldplay. I'm loving Ariana Grande's new song, Yes And. I just think it's really great melody and beat. Oh my God, pressure's on. Fleetwood Mac, and I just popped into my head because I do love it. Kylie Minogue, Spinning Around.
Okay. Kylie's one of my favorites. So.
Love Kylie. I went to the same high school as her, by the way. Years apart, but it's her and Danny went to the same high school.
Oh, lovely. Sorry.
As a little reference, the song I Don't Want to Be is mixed by Ash Howes, who has done a heap of those big songs for Kylie.
Oh, awesome. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, so when we're in Ash's studio, he's got all the records up, the gold records and platinum records that he made with Kylie are up on his up on the wall.
Oh,
board,
wow,
so.
That's cool. Five songs from you, Pete.
Okay, my five songs. So Give It Up, KC and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, I haven't heard that in a while. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good
one. Bit of a throwback. I definitely would have to say She Drives Me Crazy by Fine Young Cannibals. I do love that.
Hmm.
Dua Lipa. I absolutely love Dua Lipa. And it's the Don't Start Now, I think, is awesome.
Yeah.
Big fan of her. Prince, When You Were Mine, a bit of a throwback as well.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Ed Sheeran. I'm a really big fan of Ed Sheeran. And the one where he's looking on the hill, when he's like, when I was a Castle on the Hill.
Castle on the Hill. Okay, cool. All of those are on my playlist already.
Yeah, what about your playlist, Barrett? Does anyone ask you? What are your top five?
Okay, cool. You're the first ones to ask me. So I'm going to play with you guys. So I'm going to say Kylie Padam Padam, just because she won a Grammy for it. And was that? ABBA, Super Trooper. President Street, She Drives Me Crazy. Let's think. Boney M, Rasputin. And... Ooh. So I interviewed a Lone Star, which Jethro Sheeran, who's Ed's cousin. So I interviewed him again last week. So it's Jethro, a Lone Star Sheeran with Ed and a couple of other artists and a song called You Raise Him Up.
Oh, cool. Let's check that out.
So that would be my five in this moment. So thank you for asking me.
Very cool. Love it.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the listening audience, Ruby, you first, what would you like to say?
Hi, and we hope you're well, and thank you so much for listening to President Street with Barrett on Celeb Savant, and we'd love for you to come and hang out with us on our socials and our website and discover our music if you haven't heard it already, and come join us on President Street.
President Street Official is our handle on pretty much all our socials.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.